give expression to the will of a people, but the people must have their will. If you don't have it, there's nothing a government can do.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're broadcasting live from Etimia and Christian Victoria Island here in Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you, Lagos. How are you doing today, Lagos? Hope you're good. Hope you're good. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. I am Sharif Quadri. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is also Nigeria Info 99.3. When you're watching, please drop your comment as we go along. We'd like to hear from you. This morning, we want to take a critical look into the federal government's plan to collect VAT, value-added tax, from the informal sector, market traders and all. On Monday, the Federal Inland Revenue Service, FIRS, announced its partnership with the Market Traders Association of Nigeria, MATAN, to ease the collection of tax from its members in the informal sector. FIRS said in a statement that it was partnering with MATAN to collect and remit VAT from its members, especially those in the informal sector, using a digital platform. It said the partnership would help curb the activities of touts, miscreants, and self-imposed tax collectors involved in illegal tax collection in Nigeria's market spaces. And I'm wondering whether FIRS really understands what happens in the markets, really. I mean, deeply. Now, MATAN says it has more than 40 million traders. This figure, I think, was way back in 2004, 1994. I can't remember very well, but it was a long time ago. Because I'm pretty sure, very sure, that there are more than 40 million traders in Nigerian markets. Now, following this announcement by FIRS, Nigerians, including tax experts as well as economists, have been reacting to the development. And while some tax experts like Taiwo Idede of PwC, Taiwo is a regular on this show, while some of them are commending the federal government for the initiative, saying that Nigerians have a very low tax morale and that the idea needs some safeguards to prevent abuse, some Nigerians are curious to understand how the payment of VAT through digital means will work, especially, you know, for market traders. However, in a tweet by the FIRS via its official Twitter handle yesterday evening, the Apex Tax Administration Agency in Nigeria explained the VAT Directive Initiative, or the VAT Direct Initiative, in what it captioned "Understanding the VAT Direct Initiative." They said something like, any business that has an annual turnover that falls below 25 million is exempt from registering or charging value-added tax. They said something like, traders in VAT-exempt goods, including medical and pharmaceutical products, basic food items, educational books and materials, baby products, fertilizers, locally produced animal feeds, locally produced sanitary towels, pads and tampons, as well as agriculture seeds and seedlings, are not expected to charge nor remit VAT under the VAT Direct Initiative. And they said quite a number of things as well. Look, I could go on and on and on about this, but I have an expert on the show already that would be, you know, diving even deeper on this topic with me. Richard Inoyo joins us right now. He's a principal consultant, Project Development and Management, Africa Industrialization Group, Incorporated. Richard, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sharif. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine.
Look, I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm fantastic. In fact, I'm better because you're here with me. I first want to understand how you process this news by FIRS. I mean, how are you seeing this from an expert's point of view before we now break things down and pieces things?
Okay, well, first, let me start by saying, what is tax first? What is tax? So I think we need to clarify what is tax, then before we move into the issue on ground.
Right.
Tax is a compulsory contribution to state revenue. First, is a compulsory contribution to state revenue levied by the government on workers' income and business profits, or sometimes added on the cost of goods, delivery of service, and on transaction. By virtue of that definition, everyone in this country is a taxpayer. Either in the informal sector or in the formal sector, we are all taxpayers because we all buy goods,
yeah,
and we all charge, basically, we all charge VAT on the goods we're buying in various markets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the attempt by Federal Inland Revenue Service to kind of disinform the Nigerian people or to misrepresent the facts on ground as though these market women are not paying tax or these pet traders are not paying tax is completely worrisome.
Mm.
Now, let me put it to you clearly.
Tell me.
Where my office is flanked to one of the major markets in the south part of Nigeria.
Okay.
And I can tell you that every morning I have what I call the privilege to see how these pet traders are taxed in that market by the local government chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point here is that what the Federal Inland Revenue Service is trying to do is to pretend that this they are not aware that pet traders are paying tax.
Mm-hmm.
You did mention an association that they want to partner with. The question is, who does this association represent? So often, from my own research, I discovered the leadership of market organizations rarely represents the members they claim to represent. So on the overall, all Nigerians are taxpayers, and I think the least we can do is to let the government know that if the government is trying to pretend they're not aware, and I still think clearly that whatever the issues are, we should start with some level of honesty before we move into transparency and inclusivity.
Mm. Richard, let's break this down further now. We're going to take this from the angle of law. What does the Finance Act say about who should be exempt from paying VAT and who shouldn't?
Well, let me start first by clarifying two things. Once you raise a business name, what we know today as sole proprietorship in Nigeria, you're expected to write to Federal Inland Revenue Service and you're expected to apply for TIN number, the tax identification number. You must do that because if you don't do that, you can't get TIN, and if you don't get TIN, you can't open a bank account in Nigeria.
Mm.
So literally every business owner registered with CAC is expected to write to the Federal Inland Revenue Service and register for VAT as well as get their TIN. So literally, that is one side. For those in the limited life company, those who register limited life company, they're expected to apply for TIN. They're also expected to apply for VAT registration. They're also expected to apply for company income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, irrespective of what Federal Inland Revenue Service is trying to get the Nigerian people to see, as long as you register with CAC, you must pay tax. It's a must. But sadly enough, this same government that is trying to move into the informal sector with the idea or with the pretend that they want to unify the tax regime,
right?
Basically,
mm-hmm.
this same government gave over 16.76 trillion naira tax waiver to some 46 companies just between 2019 and 2021. Companies like the Dangote, the Honeywell, Lafarge. They went home with 16.76 trillion naira in tax waiver. What that simply means in the real sense, that's why I started by giving us the definition of tax, which is a compulsory contribution to state revenue imposed by the government on workers' income and business profit.
Yeah.
What that simply means in the real sense is that Dangote and Co. already collected this money. They collected this money and the government says keep it. Yet, if you look at the current budget for 2023, discovered that we have over 6.3 trillion naira that we need to service our debts.
Mm.
Yet we gave some points over 16.76 trillion naira in tax waiver concession. And if you do the math clearly on petroleum production tax, personal income tax, excise duty, customs, and all of those waivers that we're giving, you discover that over 30 trillion naira basically has been lost by the federal government to these companies. How can we today justify the fact that we're giving massive waiver to huge company in the name of the Industrial Development Income Tax Act, an act that itself is questionable? And this is where we are today. So, if
but, Richard, sorry,
tax the big firm.
Sorry to butt in.
To leave the informal sector.
Richard, sorry to butt in though. The companies that you're mentioning, the Dakotis of this world, the Bua of this world, and the rest of them, I'm guessing that the reason they have tax, you know, waivers to their advantage is because of the construction, major construction works that these companies did on behalf of the government. That's why they are entitled to these waivers. Correct me if I'm wrong.
My brother, let me start. I know where you're coming from, which I think you have a very strong point from that perspective in respect to the road. But let's be frank with ourselves. You see, the executive order, that's very, the tax waiver that came in was through the Industrial Development Income Tax Act, and then there's another credit scheme that came up that the federal government gave as in tax credits to this company in the name of the fact that, like NMPC, they gave them over about 146 billion naira in tax credits in the name of the fact that they are developing roads. Now, the truth here is that if the federal government takes this money, federal government will build more roads than this company. And it's a fact. So the argument being put forward by other experts that this money that they've given to this large firm, just like I gave you the math between 2019 and 2021, this is over 16.76 trillion naira. That is basically, and if you do the math correctly, see, it's close to about 30 trillion naira in tax waiver and concession. That is more than Nigerian budget. That is sufficient for us to clear our debts, okay, at least to close to 60-70% of our debts when you put both our domestic and external stock in debt. Yes, this same government is talking about tax waiver for some of the wealthiest company in this country, and yet the government wants to tax the informal sector. Now, let me shock you. You see, we have this misunderstanding about the situation on ground.
Okay.
The major job creator in this country happens to be SMEs. They are the major job creator. In 2017, it's a fact, over 56 million jobs were created by SMEs. And these jobs created by SMEs, 99% of these jobs were created by micro businesses. That simply means if you go after them and you tax them, you're not just taxing them, you're wiping them off.
Yeah, but Richard, again, sorry to butt in. The MSMEs that you're mentioning, they are all of them virtually, unless they are doing 25 million and above annually, they are protected. They are not allowed, they are not compelled to pay tax. Correct me again if I'm wrong.
No, they are paying tax. That's why I said, look, if you go down to various
states, I'm not talking about company income tax, or I don't even know if that's covered. I'm talking about, I think it's tax generally. Please correct me again.
Now, you see, let me quickly classify something clearly.
Yes, please.
What's federal inland revenue? If you apply with federal inland revenue service, and then you're given the letter where they'll send to you as the managing director of your company, they'll make it clear to you that you're not allowed to publish, okay, as in you don't need to publish as in your tax, your VAT monthly, if you're making below 25 million. But they are not telling you you're not supposed to pay tax. No.
Oh.
They are not telling you you're not supposed to pay tax. Now, let me move further to the classification of company in terms of micro, medium, and large scale. Majority of the businesses in Nigeria, they're actually micro businesses. Why is it micro businesses? If you only employ less than 100 staff, and you're not making close to about 50 million US dollars annually, you're classified as a micro business.
Did you say 50 million dollars or 50 million naira?
No, 50 million dollars. That's the classification, that's the economic classification.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you have more than 100 staff, between 100 and less than 1,000, and you're making above 50 million US dollars, you classify as medium. And when you have staff more than 1,000, and you're making close to about $1 billion US dollars, then you can now classify yourself as a large-scale business. Now, if you come down to what I said, that over 56 million jobs were created in 2017 by micro and medium-scale enterprise. Why were they created? They were created because of the fact that, to some extent, they are basically, you can easily start them up. Now, we are not against tax. Let me make that clear. We're not against tax. But we are saying that a government that will give tax break, tax waiver, concession to large firm, that if you put the overall capacity capacity for these firms to create jobs in this country is not close to what the SMEs are creating. That raises question. But most importantly, how was the federal government able to identify the companies to give these waivers to? Why, in the real sense, businesses across the country are still paying tax? Let me tell you something. If you go down to the local market today, those women are being forced to pay one levy or the other.
That's
why he said we need to define what tax is, which is the compulsory contribution to state revenue.
Right.
Levy but imposed by government.
Richard, even FIRS in my intro, they've explained, you know, that traders who sell some VAT exempt goods are not compelled to pay this VAT that they are coming through with in the market, and they listed the VAT exempt goods as well. And also, they also mentioned that any business that has an annual turnover that falls below 25 million, those ones too are exempt from registering or charging value-added tax, which means they are not supposed to pay value-added tax. And you're insisting that they do pay.
They do pay. If you pick the letter, that's what I'm telling you. Part of what I do is helping companies to fight their tax. When that letter is sent to you, on the letter, they'll tell you that if you're not making up to 25 million naira, then you don't need to publish monthly your VAT. But if you're making above that amount, you're supposed to publish. And publishing is just one part. When you go to apply for your tax as a clearance certificate, you still need to pay your tax. So the truth here is that Federal Revenue Service, they are not just being honest with the fact that people still charge on VAT. So if you're ranging study, in fact, the reality on ground today is that they need to tell the Nigerian people that even though you're expected not to publish your VAT monthly, if you're making less than 25 million naira, does not mean that you're not expected to pay tax. We are all taxpayers. And the sad thing in all of this is that we have retrogressive tax system in this country, such that at the end of the day, everyone pays specific percentage on their tax, irrespective of the income they earn. So VAT is the reality. Even to the foil you and I buy in Philly Station, we're still paying tax on it. So the fact remains that VAT is added in virtually everything we do. Even the transaction you run, the businesses run in the bank, part of the money that is charged by the bank is charged based on the authorization of the federal government. And part of that money is used to pay our loan. Part of that money is used to pay our loan either on the 1st or on the 15th of every month to the likes of World Bank, IMFM, and What's the View.
Richard,
any attempt by the Federal Revenue Service to kind of disinform the Nigerian people or to pretend we're not paying tax, we need to tell the Federal Revenue Service we're paying tax.
Let us hear from taxpayers, especially the MSMEs that we're referring to this morning. You know, whether they've actually been paying their tax, well, those that are tax compliant, that is. And I'm sure that they will be open to, you know, sharing their experience with us as well. Because what I've always been hearing is that, you know, when you do annual turnover of less than 25, you're exempt from paying tax. What you're telling me, Richard, this morning, it's quite alien to me, to be honest with you. I have my lines buzzing up already. Let's take this one before break. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Do you run a company? Do you pay tax?
Sherry, I'm a taxpayer.
No. I have a specific question.
No, I don't run a company.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for calling me, though. Richard, please stay on the line for me, all right? Let's head out. Let's take this short break, and we'll be back. Lagos, we'll be back in a moment.
Uplifting the nation through information.
Is it appropriate for a policeman to be searching through somebody's phone?
No, it is wrong.
The problem that the lecturers have against IPPIS is very simple. Our lecturers, they are teaching, not teaching in the University of Lagos alone. They are teaching in other universities, private, public, state, all kind of universities. Now, this IPPIS is the cause of this madness. So that is what they are against. No, they feel like the federal government is a corrupt government. So let them be chopping their own at the federal level. Why the university not be chopping their own at the university level, academic level? And it can't continue like that.
Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to The Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. If you're just tuning in, you're welcome to the show. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us. We're having this very important conversation on VAT, on market traders. I have Richard Inoyo with me. Richard, thank you again for joining me. Richard, my last question to you this time would be, what would you advise should be the way forward from here? The government should stop this VAT, or we should go ahead with it? What would you say?
Okay, well, let me clarify quickly. I want to believe that the Federal Inland Revenue Service, they are not speaking for the state government and they're not speaking for the local government in respect to the world tax. Because till tomorrow, state governments and local governments across the country are going from shops to different companies to collect tax. That is a fact. And that is why I think the Federal Inland Revenue Service is now saying they want to prevent multiple taxation, because they are aware that people are paying tax. But moving forward, we are not opposed, okay, to paying tax, no. Because tax can also serve as a medium to generate funds to build critical social infrastructure and cultural enterprises that are vital. So not only just sustaining the country development, but also to ensure that the next generation would have something to get from and to power their vision into reality. So tax is not a bad thing.
Okay.
But what we're saying is that the process needs to be more transparent than what it is today.
Mm.
Because in a country where over 16.76 trillion naira is given as tax waiver to some companies, to some of the wealthiest companies in the country, while others are yet to get that kind of waiver, goes to show that we are creating two policy systems where some of the wealthiest companies in the country benefit from,
right,
and others are left to basically carry the burden of paying tax when the biggest company in the country are not paying tax. That's one. Two,
right,
we also need to create a way to account for the money that we are paying as tax.
Mm.
We live in a country where too often the people who collect this tax don't tell us the truth about the tax. And most importantly, what they do with the tax. So you and I will be so glad to pay tax every now and then if we know that if the road linking our street or our business district is bad, within just 48 hours, people from the Ministry of Works will be coming down there to use the money we paid via the financing from the finance ministry to fix the road. But unfortunately, we pay all this money, we don't get value for the money we pay. So
right,
there's need for us to be accountable.
Right.
So the government needs to find new ways to be accountable to the money received.
Mm.
Don't forget that as it is today in this country, non-oil revenue exceed oil revenue. And the bulk of that money is coming from tax. So the issue here is that we have to just be sincere with ourselves. That currently, we don't trust the government enough to manage whatever it is we are paying as tax. Secondly, as a country, the process through which we manage our tax is not clear, it's not transparent.
Mm.
So if the government really wants these things to work,
yeah,
I still think the government must build more on transparency, must build more on accountability.
On accountability.
And at the same time, let our tax be one that is proportional, not the kind of tax that is retrogressive, where in the real sense, is regressive, where in the real sense, irrespective of the income you earn, you pay the same tax to someone who earns higher than you.
Mm.
That is totally unacceptable.
All right.
Because at the end of the day, we'll be taxing the poor more, and then wealthy will be going scot-free.
Thank you, Richard. Richard Inoyo is a principal consultant, Project Development and Management Africa Industrialization Group Incorporated. Thank you, Richard, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Right. I have joining me right now Taiwo Oyedele, who is a fiscal policy partner and Africa tax leader at PwC. Taiwo, good morning to you, and thank you for joining me.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to get your thought, because I need clarification at this point. I just spoke with Richard Inoyo. He said a few things that really threw me off balance. First and foremost, talk to me about the tax incentives given to big corporations like Bua, like Dangote, Richard seemed to think that, you know, this is quite not fair, that we could get this tax from them, this tax money from them, and then expend it on infrastructure ourselves as government rather than give these monies or allow the companies to do this in the name of giving them tax incentives. What's your position on this?
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's usually the problem with a single story, right? There's an expenditure statement that the federal government published, they call tax expenditure, where government will quantify the value of incentives that they have given. So that is the 16 trillion naira he's referring to. But okay, it's unfair to say that was given to Dangote and the rest of them, because those companies combined got less than 10% of the amount. So the bulk of those incentives actually relate to of basic food items, medical materials, educational items.
Oh.
And even under the ECOWAS treaty, we've signed to protocols that if you bring in certain items from, you know, countries within the ECOWAS region, government will not collect duties on those. The same way they will not collect if we export to those other countries.
Hmm.
Those amounts are also included in that quantification. So I think it's the general narrative. People like to blame the large companies. Nobody will tell you that Dangote for a while now has been one of the largest tax-paying companies in Nigeria. So let's not crucify people who are trying to do business. Government needs to review incentives, yes, but it is not right to say that 16 trillion was given to wealthy companies.
We also spoke extensively about, you know, the issue of VAT on market traders. What's your position on that?
You know, interestingly, this VAT exemption of 25 million was actually something that I advocated for as a member of the committee that drafted the national tax policy and also drafted the finance bill.
Hmm.
I can tell you authoritatively that if your turnover is not more than 25 million naira a year, that's your sales, you don't have to charge VAT. You don't have to even register for VAT. You don't have to submit returns to the authorities as far as VAT is concerned.
They seem to think that this is just on paper.
The VAT has the right to ask you questions, because otherwise, how would they know that your turnover is less than 25, you know?
Yeah.
Other than asking you questions, you don't have to charge VAT at all.
Hmm.
Now, maybe what it's trying to say is that even though you're a small business, your turnover is less than 25, should you go out and buy airtime, you have to pay VAT. Should you buy a mobile phone, you pay VAT. That's fine. But on your own sales, you do not charge VAT. And that would also apply to the market traders. And the FRS has even clarified that in their own statement.
Right.
That this category of business people will not be asked to pay VAT.
So if we're saying that, because I don't know about you, Taiwo. I go to the markets every now and again, and I see the kind of businesses. Maybe it's because of the market. Like, you know, poor men now, we go to a market that is our own level. So I do not see a market trader. Number one, they don't keep their books. Number two, the wares that they put on their table or in their store is hardly anything that would amount to that kind of money, annual turnover. I may be wrong. Maybe I am wrong. But where do we start from here? Because ideally, these people don't even have records. They don't have books. So how do you think the FIRS can even monitor this successfully?
Yeah, good point. So you're right. I think based on data, this is not just an estimation. Based on data, whether you are talking about SMEDAN, NASME, or even this market women, people throw around this 40 million numbers of MSMEs. But when you drill down, the data shows that almost 99% of that number are micro and small businesses, not medium.
Mm-hmm.
And so those micro and small businesses have no capacity to comply with VAT, which was one of the reasons we gave for the exemption in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which means you should be targeting around 1 to 2% if you are lucky of that number that can pay you VAT and their turnover exceeds 25 million. Some of them are selling mobile phones. Some of them sell laptop. You know, so there's some of them who cross the threshold of 25 million, and they should pay VAT. Now, what I think is important about what the FRA is trying to do is data collection.
Mm.
So many countries will place even more premium on data collection than revenue collection, because it is that data that will help you to do economic planning. What do these people need to, for their businesses to grow? When government support them and they grow, one day they will cross 25 million and they will start paying taxes to government. And as a consequence as well, even though your turnover may not be up to 25 million, if you make any income, personal income, that is more than 360,000 naira a year, that's 30,000 per month, you must pay personal income tax to the state. Imagine that they're able to collect that data and I make 1 million naira a year, even though my turnover is less than 25, I need to pay something to the state. So I think we have to get to a point where everybody is doing the right thing based on the law. And if you think that the law is not fair enough, we then go ahead and amend the law. We must be a country where there is respect for the rule of law. Everybody plays their own part. And then collectively, we hold government to account, spend those money on our behalf. If FRS can stop all those touts that are extorting money from these market traders, what will happen is that they will keep more the profit that they make. Now, they can collectively say to government, we need public toilets here. We need drainage here. We need road here. We need the market internet. You know, you start having a society where things work. I think this is the beginning of that social contract, and we should support it.
Talking about supporting it, because there are some, there are gray areas, Taiwo, that I would love for us to quickly look at. And I'm wondering, who is in charge of market management operations? By law, it should be the local government. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Indeed.
If FIRS now comes in and says you want to be collecting VAT, so who then manages the market still?
Yeah, you know, this issue you just raised has gone all the way to the Supreme Court under different, purview. It has more to do with hotel management. So management of a market is different from taxes of a market, right? So in fact, a company that is well established can go to the market and trade in the market. It does not mean that local government will collect all the taxes that that company needs to pay. So taxes follow the attributes, the character of the activity you carry out. So if there's VAT, whether you are a small business, micro business, large business, so long as you cross the threshold, your VAT is payable to the federal government. But bear in mind that even though you are paying that VAT to the federal government, it is shared 50% to state, 35% to local government. Federal government keeps only 15%. So in principle, actually, the VAT that will be collected from these market women, 35% of it will go to the local government.
Right.
So FRA is not coming to say, local government, don't come here anymore. Of course, local government will still go there. They will collect their market rate, kiosk levy, all those are
all of those things
that I don't agree with personally. But they're still there in the law. So local government will still do their job. FRS also has the right to do their own job.
Indeed. Taiwo, let's take some calls as we begin to go. Let's take one or two calls and talk to Lagos this morning, okay? 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the two telephone lines that we're working with this morning. Please, when you're calling, be brief because we're almost out of time, and I would love for Taiwo to respond to your questions once you're calling. And also, please, turn off your radio when you call. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, who will bear the cat?
Please turn off your radio, sir.
Okay, I'm far away from the radio. What I want to find out, the market women, all of us know what they are passing through, and the poor people. When we say they can change the law, who will give them the mouth to assist in changing the law? Because everybody is complaining. And you pay, you give you out what you have gotten, as government demanded it. But when there is fault, who will speak for the people? That is the problem we are passing. Some of us are ready to yield to government direction. But if they are not managing this money well, who will speak for us? Who will pay because the law in Nigeria, nobody obeys the law. The big people don't obey the law. So it gives us a lot of problem that, people are discouraged.
Abuse. Right. Right.
When things are not working where the road are not.
Right.
They are not utilizing the money. That's where we are discouraged.
Right. Thank you.
How can we come out of it?
Thank you. Taiwo, the caller is talking about abuse of this entire process.
Yes, I think the most I heard from him is how do we ensure that government, at the end of the day, after collecting the taxes, they use it for our purpose. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So he's right, a very good point. The social contract has two aspects to it. You play your part as a citizen by paying your taxes, and government will use that tax for the benefit of the people. It is not encouraging, and I have to tell you, in Nigeria, when you see that billions are being stolen on the news of pages of newspapers every day, and it seems like nothing is being done. But two wrongs don't make a right. And of course, currently, by paying so much to touts, you can't even hold them to account. I don't know of any road that Agbe Roads have built in Lagos, even though they said they collect over $100 billion every year. So by paying to government formally, we begin that process of holding government to account. We can then come together. I would like to see one day when the market association traders, MATAN, I think I can't remember the full pronunciation
MATAN.
Now, where MATAN will come with a list of demands and say, in the different market, these are the things we need. As a very, very minimum, public toilet, clean environment.
Yeah.
And once you do that, make it a public show so that if they don't do anything, the rest of us will jump on it. You know, media stations like you guys will jump on it. And politicians are always scared of public perception. So once you do that, things start getting better. It won't, Rome is not built in a day, neither is Lagos. But that process, in my view, needs to start.
Indeed. I have a message here from Collins on WhatsApp. Collins says, VAT is filed online on Tax Pro Max on monthly basis and automated. If you don't file every month, the Tax Pro Max system will debit your tax ledger account for not filing your VAT. That less than 25 million turnover threshold for not filing monthly VAT may not apply here, and he wants you to correct him.
Okay, so I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but I think the person is talking about the Tax Pro Max, which is the software system that the FRS has created for filing returns.
Right.
So if that system is charging you or debiting you penalty or interest for not filing returns because your turnover is less than 25 million, then that's a system problem you need to take up with the FRS because it's not supported by law.
Okay.
So go to the office, show them the copy of the law, the section that says you don't need to file returns.
Yeah.
They will ask you, of course, to justify that your turnover is not more than 25 million. And then that will be corrected. So nothing to do with the law, just administrative issue.
Right. Tari Diri, let's leave it here. Thank you so much for answering our call at a very, very short notice. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Lagos, that's where we'll leave it this morning. I've been speaking with Taiwo Oyedele, who is, of course, well-known. We all know Taiwo Oyedele, right? Tax policy expert, PwC partner. And he's been able to provide some clarity to the conversation this morning. I've also had before Taiwo, Richard Inoyo, principal consultant, projects development and management, Africa Industrialization Group Incorporated. Richard, thank you again for joining us today. Many thanks to the team that put this together. Lagos, tomorrow is Health Thursday. I'll be having Rotimi Sankore on the show tomorrow, Health Thursday. You're wondering why? That's because Rotimi wants to share personal experience in his battle against cancer. It's going to be an exclusive here on the Morning Crossfire Health Thursday. And we'll also talk about big data as regards cancer care treatment and all of that. Expect that tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Don't also forget that Rotimi returns to the radio this Friday. Public Square, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Friday, returns every Friday from tomorrow. You need to tune in for that. I'm Sharif Quadri. You can find me on social media, Sharif Quadri, across our social media platforms. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Good morning to you.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.